Welcome back. This is our 11th episode, believe it or not. And what's really exciting is I just recently looked at the stats and it said that 112 cities out of 26 countries tuned into Heart of the Frontlines podcast so far. We're so excited. I hope the number is going to grow. The other thing I realized since we've been doing this that we are creating an online community. People are coming onto our website. They check out our digital libraries. And I recently just added a self-care corner, which, believe it or not, is actually very popular. So people are drawn to these recipes. I talk a lot about my Hungarian soup, chicken soup, which is really just the goat for your soul, not just when you're sick, but when you have a really, really hard day. And the recipe got so much hit online. It's incredible. And there's also another detox soup. But anyways, I decided to do an episode on how I healed from human trafficking. And the truth is, I'm still healing. But the reason why I decided to do this episode, because again, I just did a workshop recently. And in that workshop, we really just focused on the healing journey, which was extremely well received. And over the last 5-6 years, a lot of service providers and frontline workers just asked me, how on earth you're still standing after everything you just shared? Well, the truth is, for, like I said, many years, I only talked about what happened to me, but I never really talked about the healing journey. So that's why it was hard for people to understand the healing part. Also, my book, my memoir, Out of the Shadows, it's 90% really talks about what really happened to me. And it has like, one chapter of happy ending. So the truth is, I've been on a healing journey for 28 years. And I think most service providers are also trauma survivors. So I think a lot of you will be able to relate to specifically to what I'm going to say here. And I also just want to say is the healing journey is very personal for everyone. So I'm going to share mine only because I've been asked many, many times. And I just really hope that this is going to be helpful one way or another. So like I said, in this episode, due to this very popular question over the years from the audience, how did you heal yourself? I'm going to break that down as much as I can in 30 minutes. But to summarize the steps, it was the very first step was the realization of what human trafficking actually was and that I was a victim of it. And how did that help me to basically start me off on this massive healing journey? And then the next step was where I started sharing my story and how did it help me sharing my story and how did it help me help others? What did that do to me as a survivor while I was working with other survivors? Was it traumatic? Was it healing? Well, it was mainly healing, but we'll dig into that. And then the stage where I realized that I really want to know a lot more on how I got here and how I became a victim of this crazy crime and getting mentors. I read it in a book somewhere to get mentors. It's going to be really helpful. I have no idea how much that would change my life. And of course, they talked about having healthy relationships, which I never understood what that would mean until I met the love of my life. And that was a huge stepping stone, healing so much, obviously, sexual trauma and feminine trauma and all that stuff. And then, of course, finding science and specifically brain science. So I'm going to walk you through each stage. Like I said, hopefully it's helpful. If not, then you get to spend some time with me and listening to my yaka, yaka, yaka. Let's dive in. So just kind of take you back a little bit. I was trafficked into the sex trade for 3 months in 1998 from April till August. Well, it's a little bit complicated, but really I was in it for 3 months. I escaped at the beginning of August in 1998. And there was a lot going on. Went back to Hungary, mafia found me, came back to Canada, tried to hide here. But eventually I met a police officer. His name is Mike. And with his help, we basically laid charges and there was a court case. Long story short, the point is that basically that happened in 1999, but all the way till 2008, so almost 10 years, I tried to live my life in Canada. I was here for a court case. I had no support. I had no family. I had no money. I mean, I worked on 4 jobs, but for some reason, I was always broke. And we talk about that in another episode when it comes to financial trauma. But my whole thing was, for the entire 10 years, I felt so ashamed of myself. And I felt so guilty. And the entire time, I felt like that everything that had happened to me was my fault. And simply only because at the time, nobody used the word human trafficking. I remembered I actually was interviewed by National Post. Marina Jimenez was her name. She was amazing. I barely spoke English, but we got along. We figured it out. And I remember the headlines of that article, Running Scared to a New Island, something like that. But basically, in that article, she called this exploitation. She did a huge series on the hundreds and hundreds of Eastern European girls that came to Canada on a stripper's visa at the time. So anyways, we had a lot of conversations. And again, at the time, it's called exploitation. There was no laws. Nobody was talking about what human trafficking is. Nobody really understood what human trafficking was. There was no research. There was no stats. There was no NGOs. There was no safe houses, nothing. So I didn't really know what was really happening to me. And the worst part about that is that I thought I was crazy. I thought that my trauma was so complex. My story was so crazy. And honestly, I also thought that I was alone. That was probably the worst part. The two things that, one, I thought I was completely alone and there's nobody else out there who could possibly understand what I've been through. And the other is that this was all my fault because I didn't really understand or really understood what really happened to me, and that I was lured and that these traffickers were skilled. And anyway, so I carried that guilt for 10 years. So the very first gigantic milestone in my healing journey was when I just got a volunteer position at the Toronto Police Victim Services, and I walked out of the office and I saw a newsstand. They used to have newsstands, and it was Toronto Sun, and the headline was Human Trafficking Victim Found. So I wanted to see what that article was. It sounded awful. So I look at the article, and it was Russian girls were held in captivity in North York of Toronto. And that they came, and it was my story, basically. And the headline was human trafficking. And then police was talking in the article, and NGOs and Salvation Army, and they started talking about my story, but from a lens of, this is human trafficking, this is a crime, there's laws, and it's bad. Guys, I actually literally fell on the ground. The realization that I was actually a victim of human trafficking and it's a crime, who know what they're doing and that they are very skilled on how to traffic human beings, that for the first time made me feel like I am not crazy, I didn't make this up, and I am not alone. So I felt so many different emotions. I was sad and happy and angry. And then I got up and I'm like, I finally belong somewhere. Finally, I can go somewhere where people will understand me and I can, maybe help. Maybe somehow I can help. So it was extremely exhilarating to know what was wrong with me. This first step, it was a huge, huge closure. And this closure, this first step, understanding what was wrong with me, was basically the stepping stone for the next 17 years. And a stepping stone for me becoming an advocate and an educator and a frontline worker. And honestly, I'm so incredibly grateful for that. And that was also the time when I realized that awareness, letting people know what human trafficking is so incredibly important. And that's also the time when I realized that when I will one day work with victims, I want them to know what human trafficking is. I want them to understand what they were the part of. I want them to understand that this was not their fault. I had so many plans in that very moment when I got off that ground, and I guess I got busy. So, but that was step number one, closure. So the very first time I shared my story was actually in New York at a conference, and it actually had nothing to do with human trafficking. It was a conference for people who were going to write books about their stories. And the truth is that actually I didn't go there because I wanted to write a book. I went there because my ex-fiancé gave me this trip as a gift, as a departing gift, as a separation gift. And I just wanted to go to New York. But for me to be able to get to the lunch and dinners that they served because I was broke, I needed to go to this freaking conference. So I ended up at this conference. People were walking around and asking, you know, so what are you going to write about? What's your story? I'm like, I don't really have a story. Even though I had a story, but I didn't think anyone would care, let alone did I actually want to share it. But part of the conference was, like I said, it's in the U.S., so Americans tend to be a little, you know, just out there a little bit, which is awesome. But they mandated you to go on stage and tell your story in 30 seconds, so called the elevator speech. So I was the last in line, and I had no idea what I'm going to say. And then I got up on stage, and, you know, the lights are on you. There's only 200 people that you never met, barely talked to, so zero pressure. So I actually said in 30 seconds, this is exactly what came out of my mouth. And I don't know what came over me, but I remember this moment very clearly. It said there was a girl who came from Hungary to North America, believed that she was a babysitter. It was just a summer job. Unfortunately, her employers turned out to be an international human trafficking ring. But there's a happy ending in the story. She's standing right in front of you to tell you the story. My eyes was closed. I opened my eyes. I looked at the audience. I couldn't hear a sound. Everybody was just staring at me. I'm like, what happened? Was my mic not on? I was just looking around. Everybody was shocked. Honestly, this was the very first time when I said my story out loud to people. I never really told my story to anyone. Not like this. Under the mic, the police officer, when I was giving a statement, but that was very, very, very different than this. And so I felt kind of naked, and I had no idea how people are going to react. I thought people are going to look at me and think I have like 100 million fingerprints on me, obviously, because I was sex trafficked. But that's not what happened at all. What happened was people slowly started getting up and clapping and started crying. And that was the first time I shared my story. And it was just an amazing feeling. Like I said, I thought I would be judged, but I wasn't. I was actually very loved. I got hugs and everything, and it felt amazing. And so that first experience really gave me the courage to continue, but I didn't really have a plan. But there was this moment I'll never forget that really changed my life and also was extremely healing. A huge milestone in my healing journey is when I was sharing my story in this small church in this small town in Canada. And I finished my story. We went to the basement, had tea and cookies, and there was this beautiful 85 years old, very well-dressed British lady. I could tell she was British. She was waiting until everybody was done talking to me, and she made her way towards me. And I could tell that she, whatever she had to say, she wanted to tell me in private. And she was with a young lady who was waiting for her in the corner. So she came up to me, she looked around, she pulled me in really close, and she hugged me, and she started whispering in my ear. And she said, I was 15 years old. I was a young girl when I came to Canada from England. And everything you just told me, very, very similar things happened to me. Now, halfway through, she started choking. She started crying. I could feel her shaking. And I could feel that this is something that she's been caring for, you know, 70 years. I could literally feel that she probably never told anyone, and I'm very familiar with that feeling. It feels like a 560-pound sitting on your chest, shame and guilt. And then as she was sharing more of her story, she was just hugging me stronger, and then she looked at me. I looked in her eyes. She was crying, and she said, I never told this to anyone, and I thought that I'm going to take this to my grave. And I cannot thank you enough for holding the space for me. And I can't thank you enough for finally letting me understand what happened to me. You can only imagine how I felt after. It was so healing for her, but it was so incredible to witness that beautiful transformation. Honestly, selfishly, it was so beautiful to experience it, mainly because I got to have a front row seat to somebody else's breakthrough in their healing journey. And I love helping and I love watching people heal. So for me, that was like a moment, absolutely priceless, priceless. I'll never forget that lady. I don't know if she made her transition since then. It's been 15 years, but I cannot believe that I was so honored and lucky to be the one that she could dump this on, basically. And so that was a huge part of my healing journey, because then I realized again that there's so much more to life. And I realized that this is exactly what I wanted to do. And there is a place for me in this world. And that place is sharing my story and helping people on the healing journey. And a lot of you that are in frontline, I know because I met you and I worked with you. We talk about this all the time. We all been through so much crap. And then we made such a good thing out of it, which is now we becoming the ones that putting our hand out and helping others in a way. So, but back to my healing journey, milestones, that was huge. So first, when I realized that I was actually a victim of human trafficking, which means I'm not crazy, which means I'm not alone. Second, when I started sharing my story, which means that I got to see and got to help people guide their healing journey, but also help raising awareness, which was also a huge deal. The more I shared my story, more people came up to me, more people realized that, wow, I think that's what's happening to my daughter. That's what's happening. I can actually intervene. So I realized that I can actually prevent things as well. So, I mean, how can you go wrong? And so while I was doing this work, the next step was I was guided to research about generational trauma. I never even heard that word, generational trauma. I didn't know what that was. I started reading about it and I read more books and watched videos, went to conferences. I realized that I wanted to know how on earth I became a victim of such a crime. And I also realized that nobody wakes up at the age of 20 and just becomes a victim of human trafficking or just becomes a victim of this or that. So many things happen before, way before you become a victim of such a crime. So that was mind-blowing and extremely healing to go down in a rabbit hole and find out where I come from, what generational trauma is, epigenetics, the fact that you actually basically inherit trauma. So understanding where I came from, learning about generational trauma, epigenetics, science, most importantly, the fact that with the help of science and understanding science and epigenetics and the hormones and the blood and how you inherit generational trauma, you can actually reverse everything. You can reverse trauma. That was insane. That was so cool. That was awesome. Anyways, moving forward, then I started researching the mindset, negative mindset and a positive mindset. I dived right into the power of positive thinking and a movie called Secret at the time and Laws of Attraction. And I realized that I was the most negative person on the planet. So I really, really needed to heal that. But that kind of led me to my childhood trauma. That led me to understand about subconscious mindset and conscious. What is in my subconscious? A programming that I get as a child. Up until the age of 7, you get programmed by the voices that are in your environment. So in my environment, my mother was, you know, we're going to die poor, you're poor, you're not good enough, you're never going to be good enough, so on and so forth. So I learned about the subconscious programming, which is also insane. So I learned about how I became a victim. I also learned about victim mentality. These were all so incredibly helpful. No one taught me these things. Even as a client, when I was a client and I had a social worker, no one ever sat me down and said, like, these things happening, this is how it works, this is how trauma works. I was sat down many times and I was asked to share my story or how I'm feeling, But nobody really explained to me how I got here or how can I heal it. It was never part of those discussions. So that was another huge major milestone when I started researching and I realized that I can take responsibility for my own healing. And here are the tools. These are the things that I can do for myself to heal myself. That was so incredibly freeing. So that was the first 10 years after I realized that I was a victim of human trafficking. So by this time, I was about 33 years old. And then I got myself a mentor, and he was absolutely amazing. His name is Robert Hooper. He's a lawyer from Hamilton. And we have a very long story, and we will do an interview as well. But he became basically one of the surrogate father. I look at him like a father figure, even though he's not old enough to be my father. But he was everything that I ever wanted in a father. I really wish I had a father like him. He taught me everything. He taught me about money. He taught me investments. He taught me how not to have a victim mentality. He taught me how to be an entrepreneur. But most importantly, he taught me how to believe in myself. He believed in every single thing I've done. And so just incredible. He wasn't the only mentor I had. I had several mentors. I'm so incredibly lucky and grateful to have them in my life. Again, having a mentor was so incredibly healing, and I learned so much. And again, I'm just incredibly grateful. And then I met the love of my life, and I usually don't talk about him because everything else is so public about my life. But what he taught me, and he, I mean, I can't even... There is not enough time in this podcast that I can tell you how much he was able to help me heal, but he just gave me unconditional love, which I never had in my life before. And that unconditional love just basically washed right through so many traumas, so many wounds, some wounds that were still bleeding. We just healed so much. And he did agree to come on a podcast one day. I think we will do that. Very brave man. But I'm so grateful for him. He also ended up marrying me, which I never ever thought that a girl like me with the story like I had, coming from a background I came from, I could ever put on that white dress and have a beautiful ceremony, have friends and family together. That was never in the cards for me. I never thought anyone would ever see me as a marriage worthy, you know, as a good girl, so to speak, as someone they want to spend the rest of their life with. And he gave me that such a gift. And like I said, to this day, he's giving me that gift, that beautiful unconditional love. As you can tell, the healing journey is very long. And it's like an onion, and the trauma is like an onion. You peel it, and another layer, you find another layer, and you find another layer, and you find another layer. And just when you feel like you got to everything, and you should be okay now, another trigger hits, and then, okay, what is that all about? Why did I have a complete meltdown in a grocery store when I looked at Italian wedding soups, you know? But that's life, and that's life after trauma. And, you know, at the end of the day, I keep saying healing is very personal for everyone. I'm just sharing my milestones because some people can relate to it. Some people have a good laugh, so on and so forth. They can take bits and pieces out of it. And while we are on this topic still, the last thing I want to say is if this was an Oscar speech, you know, who I can thank that I'm still here, I definitely don't want to miss out thanking my cats. I had cats since I've been in Canada. I had two cats that were very consistent in my life for 20 years, actually, and Mario and Forrest, and I just loved them so much. But they did two things for me. One, they were always home when I got home. I was never alone when I was home. They curled up with me. We had our thing. They came to bed with me. They followed me everywhere. I felt like I was needed, even in a very, very dark moment when I just wanted to end my life. And there was a few times I just couldn't do it. I didn't want my cats to go into a shelter. So they really held me together at times when there was nobody else around. And the other thing is, like I said, I never felt alone. I felt like I had a little family. So honestly, just massive thanks to my cats. And towards the end, when I got out of, you know, survival mentality and constant crisis and life kind of settled in, I was finally able to develop hobbies or things that I always would have loved to do, but I never had the time or money. I was broke. And I think having a hobby is really just self-care. It really is just the time and space that you give to yourself and you do something that you absolutely love doing. In my case, that's cooking and baking, home decor, and I make these bath products. Before COVID, I started a side business where I employed survivors of human trafficking, and we started making bath products like lavender salt and lavender roll-ons and bath tea bags and all kinds of goodies. And during COVID, of course, we had to take a break and close the store, and now we just have a small private facility and we still make these products. So if you're a frontline worker or, you know, a police officer and you have a big court case with many, many victims, please reach out to us because, again, we make these court support packages for the survivors. But anyways, back to the final thoughts on this episode and the healing journey. To sum it up, after 28 years of being on this crazy healing journey, the most important thing that I figured it out is I think the reason why I was doing it, why I was so determined to get better and feel better, because at the end of the day, I just wanted to have more good days than bad days. At the end of the day, I was tired of being in crisis mode, survival mode. I was tired of having victim mentality, and I was tired of a life that was just exhausting all the time. The other thing about the healing journey, you can never get it done. It's never going to be done. You're never going to just be wholly healed, I don't think. I think you're going to get better and you're going to have way more good days than bad days. In closing, again, the last couple of years was where I found some incredible material through science on how to heal trauma, through brain science, generational trauma, epigenetics, subconscious mind. That was absolutely mind-blowing, which is why I created that course that walks you through step-by-step from literally generational trauma from the science perspective, a childhood trauma from the science perspective, victim mentality from science perspective. And when I say science, I'm saying brain science, hormones, blood, which eventually feelings, and feelings create thoughts, and thoughts create action, and how you get stuck in the same cycle over and over again. And believe it or not, it's all because of hormones and blood and things that you inherited. It's nuts, but it's so freaking cool. If you guys want to check it out, please go into our digital library. I will put all the information there. Anyways, I really appreciate your time. I hope this was helpful. These were just my little milestones on how I healed so much crap in 28 years. And again, in my case, I realized this, I guess, halfway into my healing journey, that I can never get this done, and that's okay. But if I can just get to a place where I have a better life than I had before, I'm okay with that. So, I don't know, take it for what it's worth. Again, I hope this was helpful. Thank you so much for tuning in, and let's reconnect in the next episode.